Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you made my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you made my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want.
Good morning. Welcome home, as we say. I don't know if this is your church home or you have another home or wherever it is. We say welcome home. This is a no judgment zone. This is where we all are family with God and brought into incredible presence with Him by His amazing grace, which He just pours out on us. That's one of the reasons why we gather and we worship, because God's grace, as Paul says, is sufficient. And wherever your need is today, God's grace is going to come meet it. And I pray that as we talk about that Spirit come down, Spirit give you faith to believe that today. He's got grace for you. And He loves you and He's got a word for you. And so we just invite you to open your heart and mind to Him as we worship together. And listen to Him to speak to you It may be in a message. It may be in the music. It may be just in this quietness of the rolling waves of his beautiful sanctuary of the Gulf. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor here at Hope on the Beach Church. And our mission at Hope is awakening hearts to Jesus every day. And what does that look like? I met a guy several years ago in a business network who was far from the Lord, but knew of the Lord, but far. And really never took a step to have a relationship with him. In fact, he was living on the other side of life. And God just started to awaken his heart to him and started calling on him. And we started talking and sharing, and I started discipling him. And he got into a church, but he lives far away. So we found a church where he lives, and he's got plugged in that church. And it's been like a year or so, and he calls me on Friday, and he says, "Listen, I just have been convicted. I've been with my fiance for 8 years, and we've never been married. And God just showed me that, like, what marriage is about, and just really spoke to my heart how I'm out of line and sin, and I want to get married today. Can you do it?" I'm like, "I'm all the way in Destin. You're over Panama City more." And anyway, I'm like, "Man, what you're going through is called an awakening. God awoken your heart, and you're like, I gotta move to his will. I just want to be in line with him. I want him to be the Lord of my life in every aspect." And so that afternoon we had a wedding in my family room. That's what I call an awakening and acting on it. And I pray God gives you faith and hope to take action today. In your worship folder, we want to recognize your presence with us today. There's a connection card there if you're going to fill it out. We'd love for you to fill out the front. It's our way to connect with you, and we don't sell it. We don't market you, but we just want to really have a relationship, and wherever that is, that we walk alongside with you to be a part of your help in awakening your heart to Jesus too. We're in a series called Questions of Mark, and we're asking these different questions in different texts, and today we wrestle with a pretty important question. That is, what is the eternal sin? What is the eternal sin? And so basically you could flip it, like, what is forgivable and what is not. So with that, I invite us to rise. And as we begin our worship today, our first song, it's an older song. It's a song that has incredible words about, man, praying to God, calling out to God in prayer in the first verse, that he would give us faith to believe and have conviction. I mean, a church needs conviction on its beliefs, not just to know it, but have it in their heart. And so let's use this prayer and use this song time to just lift our hearts and our minds and recognize his presence here and ask that, man, God, bring this belief deeper into from my head to my heart, that it may live out through my actions, my voice, my hands, and my feet. In Jesus' name.
The lyrics are in the bulletin, just in case. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. Let our faith be more than anthems. are greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. Christians, what do we believe? We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life.
Comprehend are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. What a gift. Thank you. You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. That is broken. Great are you, Lord. Sing that again. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So
and all the earth will shout your praise.
these bones will say, great are you, Lord.
One more time, come on.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say,
the Lord in prayer before we even stop, huh? Thank you, Father, for worship. Thank you how it brings us close to your heart, and it gives us a way to let you know how we love you. We thank you for our service beginning in that way. And we pray that we will only draw closer to you through your word. So speak to our hearts. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Don't you get a little nervous when somebody says to you, the beginning of your conversation is, good news and some bad news. Which do you want first? What kind of question is that? All right, we're working. I was told I need to apologize to those of you online. Our sound is a little iffy this morning. We've got some technical issues there. And apparently they continue here live on the beach. So we'll make it. I'll just have to come closer if I have to. It'll be all right. So I'm Steve, Director of Ministries. And it's my privilege to share with you another passage in the book of Mark as we're getting a look at some questions from the Gospel of Mark. So when someone says to you, do you want good news or bad? I don't know about you. I like to end on a good note. So give me the bad news first. But today I'm going to give you the good news first, just to frustrate you. You see, there is times in our life, if you have felt this, I have good news for you. If you have felt like in your life you have committed an unforgivable sin, or I like the word unpardonable too, there have been times in my life ministry when I have gone through things that those in the church, some in my family, to hear them tell it, what I was going through was the end all. That's just unforgivable. Well, I have good news for you. We are going to talk about an eternal sin, but I promise you, it's none of those that you've been accused of. Your divorce is not unforgivable. Good news. Adultery, not unforgivable. Addiction. No, not unforgivable. Your dishonesty, cheating, even, and I need to say it because it's the truth, even suicide, not unforgivable. That's the good news. We, as believers in Christ, cannot commit a sin that can't be forgiven. I had a lot of can'ts in there. Let me try to say that a better way. We, as believers in Christ, cannot commit an unforgivable sin. That's the good news. The bad news is, there is one. Most would tell us that all our sins are forgiven, and they are, except one. And this discussion in Mark chapter 3 begins with the scribes attacking Christ verbally. Jesus has been healing, he's been casting out demons, and the scribes began to attack him. In Mark chapter 3, verse 22, we read, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, 'He is possessed by Beelzebub and by the prince of demons. He casts out the demon.'" So these are the high-powered boys. They're from Jerusalem. They're the real policy makers, the movers, the shakers. They come and they verbally begin to attack Jesus. And the discussion begins with an accusation. This discussion begins with an accusation. And that accusation is, Jesus is possessed by the devil. And it's through the devil that he's casting out demons. That's a strong accusation. But if you think about it, it's a dumb one. Why would the devil cast out his own demons? They're doing his bidding in the first place. That's a dumb proposition, that Jesus would be guilty of casting out demons as a demon. That makes no sense at all. So he answers. In fact, letter B, Jesus promises that Satan's power will end. In verses 23 to 26, he called them to him. Now, I like to think of Jesus having a sense of humor. Don't you? Look around. I like to think he has a sense of humor. And I think that sometimes Jesus plays with Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees like a cat plays with yarn. He likes to just ask them questions they can't answer. And so I think in this moment, the scripture here we're reading says, he called them to him. In other words, they are railing down on him this accusation, and I can see Jesus shaking his head and asking them to huddle up. Come here, fellas. Let's get something straight. So he brings them in close to him so he can teach them a parable. And he says, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. Satan's days have always been numbered. Satan was defeated in heaven long ago. He was cast to earth for a limited time, and there is a bottomless pit waiting for him. Christ has given us victory over Satan and all of his wiles. And he's telling them that won't work. A kingdom against a kingdom won't stand. The devil against the devil, that can't work. A house divided against itself, no. None of that will stand. In fact, Satan will end. And then in letter C, he goes on to explain his power and mission. You see, they have accused him of casting out demons in the power of Satan. They're right about halfway. He is casting out demons. In fact, the Bible tells us that the demons on more than one occasion recognized him. They knew who he was, and they were afraid. When he came upon the man with legion, they asked him, "Don't cast us away, throw us in the pigs." Now, can you imagine your best option for the day is to be cast into a pit? And so he did. And they promptly ran over the cliff. Satan had no power in the face of Jesus. So, in Mark 3:27, he explains his power and his mission. He says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then, indeed, he may plunder his house. So he brings the guys close. Let me explain this to you. Nobody can plunder a man's house unless you first bind him up, the strong man who lives there. You've got to bind him up. And that's what he was saying, was yes, I'm casting out demons, but the way I'm plundering his house is to first bind him up. I own Satan. And the only way I can plunder like I am is to bind him up. It's not Satan fighting Satan, but rather it is Jesus in his power, on his mission, binding up Satan and plundering his house. What do we mean by plunder? Well, Jesus has come to earth, the devil's kingdom. And first of all, he stood against temptation. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you remember the temptations in the desert? How he was tempted, and every time he would stand against it with a scripture, he would remind the tempter of the truth. There were other temptations that Jesus faced, and as he faced them, he never once gave in to one. Now you see, you and I, oftentimes, we'll give in. We'll oftentimes do what is suggested. We don't have to. Now this may bust some bubbles, so hang with me. I don't mean to scare you. You don't have to sin. Say, now wait a minute. I'm a slave to sin. Not if you have Christ in your life. Not if Jesus is coming to your heart. If the Spirit lives in your person, you have all the power you need to defeat sin in your life. We have what we need. And sometimes, let's just face it, it's fun. It feels good for a while. Until God's conviction comes upon us, and then it doesn't feel so good. And then we have our regrets. And then we wish we could get out. And the same power that kept us from going in can get us out. As believers, we have the power to stand against temptation. Jesus did. Jesus also cast out demons. He could just tell them with a word, go, and they would flee. The Bible says that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So in the evenings, when it was cooler, throngs would come to the house where Jesus was staying. And he would spend the evening casting out demons and healing the sick. Jesus using his power on his mission to do his work. He has that same power today. Still, he's on mission. Still, his power stands strong. In fact, letter D, Jesus' power forgives our sin. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. So God's power through Christ can remove all sin, forgives all sin, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now I'm sure you sit here this morning and saying, I don't think I've ever done that. I'm sure you haven't if you're a believer in Christ this morning. But it's important for us to know what this is, and it's particularly important to people we love and care about, because we don't want them committing the only sin that can keep them from forgiveness. The only sin that could keep them out of heaven. And yes, the truth today, gang, is there is such a sin. Well, I thought Jesus forgave everything except one. And he tells us that we can blaspheme other things. We can take Jesus' name in vain. We can be derogatory about believers. We can be derogatory about faith. We can blaspheme a lot of things. But the quote is, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Number one, every sin is forgiven except one. Now you English majors can't wait until you get to me to say, well, if there's one, then not every sin is forgiven. True. But every sin that we choose to commit short of this one is forgiven. And the one, the eternal sin, is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. For whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. What is this? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that carries such a price that can't be forgiven either here or there. It is simply rejecting the Holy Spirit. That's the highest form of blasphemy there is to reject the Holy Spirit. To refuse to allow the Holy Spirit access into my life. That is unforgiving. You see, God, through Christ, offers us salvation through the Holy Spirit. He is the cleansing agent with the blood of Jesus. And He leads us through baptism. The Spirit will fill us as believers in Christ. And He is how we have victory. He is how we live. He is how we become like Christ. And for anyone to reject Him, to reject the Spirit, to lock Him out of our house, out of our heart, out of our life, there is no forgiveness for sin. There's no way that God can forgive this ultimate blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Are you here today? And so far you have rejected the Holy Spirit? You know, God calls your heart. This whole salvation experience begins with God coming to us. We're so depraved. We're so sinful. We don't have enough sense to know we need to be saved until God's Spirit begins to work and call us and draw us. So have you accepted what God wants to do? Because if you have, then good news. You've been. Our sins are covered in the blood of Jesus. That is good news. That's worth at least a, yeah,
amen,
something. Sins covered. Sins forgiven. No penalty coming for them. But should we reject the Holy Spirit? There's no forgiveness. There's no reconciliation. There's no fixing it. John 14 reminds us, these things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We need the Spirit in our life to teach and lead. And it's through His presence we gain forgiveness through Jesus. So, let's look at our memory verse, John 15:26. Let's say it together. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Is the Spirit alive and well in you? Have you received the forgiveness that God provides? Because here's the bottom line. To reject the Holy Spirit is to deny God's gift of salvation. Don't deny the Holy Spirit. Don't deny access to your heart and your life. God has come for you. Receive Him. Receive Him today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. It's too light a response to your salvation offer, to your provision for our forgiveness, for erasing sin from our life. Father, thank you doesn't get it. What you deserve is absolute, total, complete surrender as we receive what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. May all sitting here today have received that precious forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Let's continue our prayer as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks, Steve. And if you've heard that message today, you have received the Spirit. If you're a believer, you have received it. You have all that grace. And so what do we do with that grace? Do we just sin more because we know we're forgiven? Paul says in Romans 6, no, absolutely not. We don't sin more, just experience more grace. We have all that grace. And that grace is what defines us and moves us and shapes us to how we live. That we are living by the Spirit. And so we have an opportunity to continue to live by that Spirit, walk and honor God, this incredible gift of His grace, by honoring Him with the gifts He's given us. And so in your worship folder, there's an offering envelope. It's our opportunity to worship, glorify Him. Say, God, we thank you for your amazing grace. It's greater than anything physical on this earth. And we just want to honor you. Your word says to bring our tithes and offerings. And so we do. To worship you, to say this is the most important thing in our life. We want this to define us. And so you can use envelope, the QR code, a text to give. Any of those are awesome. Also in your worship folder is that connection card. If you can take it out and share on the back side of it what you're celebrating today. We would love to pray with you. We have different people available for prayer. If you haven't been baptized, please come talk to us. And if you've confirmed your faith today for the first time, please let's talk and pray with you. We love to connect with you. One of the things that we're doing is we are doing a large group kind of study, large group, small group study, and we're walking through these tough questions Jesus is asking. We call it a large life group. It's just a small group kind of setting and style, and just in a larger time with a meal. We are taking a break on July 4th week, and we'll pick it up the rest of July. Really love to encourage you to come. And so you see the dates there and the opportunities to help out too.
Also, we have Jacob, our congregation son, also my son, who's being ordained on the 13th, and we invite you to be part of that. If you want to help with that event, please let us know. And then, you know, you have lots of opportunities in your life to be a joiner. You can join all sorts of things. But there are few opportunities to be found. And one of the things that we are doing is we are expanding and adding another beach service at Inlet Beach. And we're moving to twice a month. And our hope is, again, to be weekly by November-ish, if not sooner. And so I want to invite you to be a founder, not just a joiner. But like, man, let's help establish something. Let's build something at the foundation level that's going to be lasting. I mean, we've been here at Hope for over 20 years on the beach because there was a founder. It was a small group of founders who came and plugged away. I heard this great phrase, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. If it's worth doing, it's worth just going after it. No matter how good it is, you don't go for perfection. It's worth doing. And we truly believe in our heart, it is worth to continue to multiply and expand because we need to bring the light of Christ to as many people as possible. So you'd like to be part of that? I mean, you could be part of the team here, or you can help be part of the team in England. There's opportunity to sign, opportunities to serve in there, and your protection card too. And of course, we really appreciate to hear your prayer requests. We do pray for you. We'll send your prayer. They put it on our prayer team. We're glad to walk alongside and do that with you, to lift you up in your needs. So as we continue our worship today, ushers are coming around with buckets. Feel free to put your connection card in and your offering in there as we continue to worship. I invite you to rise to close that.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I believe in. I will never love and trust Him in His presence, believer. I surrender.
Shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.
If anybody would like to help break it.